This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on two details that come from the first and second readings for this upcoming fifth Sunday of Easter Year A. The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and the second is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Both details touch on the topic of the Sacrament of Holy Orders, the order of the priesthood, and the order of the diaconate. So let's start with the first reading, Acts 6, 1 through 7. Here's what we read. At that time, as the number of disciples continued to grow, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12 called together the community of the disciples and said, "It's not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table. Brothers, select from among you seven reputable men filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The proposal was acceptable to the whole community, so they chose Stephen, a man filled with faith in the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. The detail that's relevant for doing apologetics is the laying on of hands by the apostles over these seven men for the sake of service. Many throughout the theological tradition have appealed to this text as biblical evidence for the sacred order of the diaconate. Three reasons have been given throughout the theological tradition. First, the laying on of hands elsewhere is tied to the sacramental sign of ordination, according to 1 Timothy 4:14. Second, these men have hands laid on them to serve, there in verse 2 of Acts chapter 6, which in Greek, diakonio, is a verb that's related to the noun for deacon in Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 1. The third reason is that the ministry of at least one of these men, Philip, involves preaching, according to Acts 8, 5, and baptizing, there in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. So those are the three reasons that some have given in support of the claim that this text references the sacred order of the diaconate. However, there's a case to be made that this is not a reference to the sacramental order of the diaconate. And I might add a persuasive case. Firstly, the Catechism of the Catholic Church never references this text when it speaks of the diaconate as a degree of holy orders. And such an omission carries a lot of weight because the Catechism appeals to biblical texts to justify its teachings throughout. Secondly, the International Theological Commission's 2002 document, From the Diaconia of Christ to the Diaconia of the Apostles, which was approved for release by then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, explicitly denies Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 as a biblical reference to, quote, the institution of the diaconate, close quote. Granted, this is not a document of the magisterium. However, it does represent orthodox and learned Catholic opinion on this topic. This being the case, a Catholic is permitted to deny this passage as a biblical reference to the institution of the ordained diaconate. Okay, but why does the International Theological Commission conclude this? Well, as I read through it, I deciphered three lines of argumentation. First, the document emphasizes the reason for these men's appointment. It states this, quote, Acts 6, 1 through 6 describes the institution of the seven to serve at tables. The point here in the document seems to be that their institution is not simply for service, which would lie at the heart of the ordained diaconate, but specifically to solve the problem of the Hellenist widows being neglected in the daily distribution of food. That's not something that belongs essentially to the order of the diaconate. So notice how it's The service is specified in Acts chapter 6. It doesn't apply to the general ministry of service that would be essential to the diaconate. Second, the International Theological Commission appeals to the Latin Vulgate. It points out that whenever the scriptures speak of a deacon belonging to one of the churches, referencing Philippians 1:1 and 1 Timothy 3:8 and 12, the Vulgate, quote, does not use the word minister, but retains the Greek word diakonos, close quote. Given that the Greek word diakonos has a wide range of meaning in the language of the New Testament, covering a variety of different kinds of services, the commission concludes that the Vulgate doesn't provide for us reason to think this is the institution of the order of the diaconate. The commission's third line of argumentation is a reference to the 7th century Byzantine Council in Trullo, AD 692, which analyzed the contents of Acts 6, 1 through 6, and taught that the seven were not ordained deacons. Again, it's not out of bounds for a Catholic to question the common appeal to this passage as biblical justification for ordained deacons. Or I might add, it's not out of bounds for a Catholic to appeal to this passage as a biblical justification for ordained deacons. I just emphasize the point that if a Catholic does deny this passage as support for ordained deacons, they are not out of bounds with good Catholic opinion. Now, speaking of ordained, don't the apostles lay their hands on the seven men? And wouldn't that prove that this is an ordination to the sacred order of the diaconate? Well, they do lay hands, but this doesn't necessarily mean it's a sacramental laying on of hands. The laying on of hands in the early church was used for a variety of purposes, one being simply to visibly appoint or set someone apart for a particular service. And this being the case, we can't conclude this is a sacramental ordination simply because it's a laying on of hands. There's too much ambiguity with the laying on of hands. Other evidence would be required to decipher which type of laying on of hands this is, sacramental or some other type. Given that the immediate context suggests the specific duty of serving tables to solve a problem with the Hellenist widows, it doesn't seem to be sacramental. So, this detail offers us a little different flavor for our apologetical discussions. Unlike details that we've looked at in previous episodes, where we've used a detail to engage apologetically with someone who's not Catholic, this detail lies at the center of an intra-Catholic debate, whether this text serves as biblical grounds for the Catholic teaching on the sacramental order of the diaconate or not. I suppose it's stuff for the apologetical nerds, right? But hey, that's what we do here at the Sunday Catholic Word. We nerd out in apologetics. So hopefully you found that interesting. Now, we can turn to the second detail that we're going to look at for this episode. And it comes from the second reading for this upcoming Sunday, which is the fifth Sunday of Easter. And it's taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Peter writes this: "Come to him, a living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in it shall not be put to shame. Therefore, its value is for you who have faith, but for those without faith, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that will make people stumble, and a rock that will make them fall. They stumble by disobeying the word, as is their destiny. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." The key detail here is verse 5 and verse 9. Verse 5 speaks of Christians being a holy priesthood, and verse 9 speaks of Christians being a royal priesthood, hence the reason for the singular key, right? The key is that Christians are called a priesthood, whether holy in verse 5 or royal in verse 9. Now, some Protestants, like the late Norman Geisler and Ralph McKenzie in their book Roman Catholics and Evangelicals on page 291, think these texts contradict what the Catholic Church teaches on the ministerial or hierarchical priesthood of bishops and priests. To quote paragraph 1547 there of the Catechism, like Martin Luther, these Protestants argue that if all believers are priests in Christ, though one priest, well, then there's no need for a ministerial or hierarchical priesthood. Now, I deal with this objection in great detail in my book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Beliefs. So I'll summarize a few points here. First, affirming that all Christians are priests in Christ doesn't entail the negation of a ministerial or hierarchical priesthood. They're not mutually exclusive. For example, the Catechism references these passages as biblical support for its teaching that the community of the baptized make up the common priesthood of Christ, there in paragraph 1141. Yet, it also affirms the existence of a ministerial or a hierarchical priesthood. So, at least from a Catholic perspective, there's no conflict between these two levels of priesthood because each participates in the sole priesthood of Christ just in a different way. But what about from a biblical perspective? Well, everyone agrees that Peter's statement in 1 Peter 2:9 is an allusion to Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, which refers to Israel as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But during the time of the Exodus, the universal priesthood of the Israelites was merely one rank, the lowest rank, of priestly status among two others, the top level being Aaron, the high priest, and the middle level, which comprised his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, who served with Aaron. Check out Exodus chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 8 for the details. So Peter's obviously drawing a parallel between Israel and the church here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, the affirmation that Christians make up a universal priesthood of believers for the Israel of God in the New Covenant, referencing Galatians chapter 6, verse 16 for that idea, doesn't automatically exclude a ministerial or hierarchical priesthood in Christ's church any more than the affirmation of a universal priesthood of Israelites excludes the existence of a hierarchical priesthood within God's people in the Israel of God in the Old Covenant. You might have to listen back to follow that line of reasoning for it, okay? More work would have to be done to show whether there is in fact a rank of priestly ministry in the New Covenant that matches the other ranks for the Israel of God in the Old Covenant. You know, so at least we can show that one cannot appeal to this passage in 1 Peter 2:9 to show that there is no hierarchical or ministerial priesthood. Appealing to the passage itself does not suffice because you can affirm a universal priesthood and at the same time have a ministerial and higher or hierarchical priesthood. So the question now is, well, is there any such evidence that there is a ministerial or hierarchical priesthood in the New Covenant, like it was for the Old, for the Israel of God in the Old Covenant? Well, as I point out in my book, the answer is yes, and that is my book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. One piece of evidence is the parallel itself. Again, Peter's drawing a parallel between Christ's church and the Israel of God in the Old Covenant. Peter affirms that both have a lower rank of priestly ministry, the common or universal priesthood. Now, we know from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, there's a match between the Israel of God in the New Covenant and the Israel of God in the Old Covenant for the top level of priestly ministry. That's Jesus, the high priest. It makes biblical sense, therefore, that there would also be a New Testament parallel to the middle rank, ministers specially ordained to serve the people with Jesus, just as Aaron's sons served with him. This appeal to 1 Peter 2:9 then only strengthens our Catholic position. It doesn't pose a threat to it. Again, we know there's a match with the lower rank. We know there's a match with the top rank. And so it's at least reasonable and fitting to conclude that there would be a middle rank in the new covenant to match the middle rank of priestly ministry for the Israel of God and the old covenant. Now, just as a teaser, when I deal with this objection in my book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, I give three lines of argumentation that there is in fact a match for the middle rank in the New Testament, appealing to John chapter 20, verse 23, where our Lord gives the disciples the command to forgive and retain sins, Luke 22, 19, where Jesus tells the apostles to do this in remembrance of me, and Romans 15, 15 through 16, where Paul recognizes his ministry as a priestly ministry. But you'll have to get the book for the details on that. Well, that does it, my friends, for this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word. At least for the first and second readings for this upcoming fifth Sunday of Easter, year A, the Sacrament of Holy Orders, the Order of the Diaconate and the Order of the Presbyterate is front and center. Definitely some things worth pondering, eh? Thank you, my friends, as always, for subscribing to the podcast, and please be sure to tell your friends about it and invite them to subscribe as well. Also, if you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcasts, it's a ripoff of Mr. Clean because of my bald head. Check it out. Go to shop.catholic.com. I hope you have a blessed and wonderful fifth Sunday of Easter. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.